No, but I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and read like we generally do, verse 24 down a few verses. And the reason we read this to the church at Corinth, see, I know it by heart, but we need to read it every time so people will know why we do this. And Paul is rehearsing what Jesus said back in Matthew 26, about 26 years before this. He said when he had given thanks, he break the bread, or breaked it, that's the bread he had in his hand. He said, take, eat this in my body, which is broken for you. Do ye remember some me? And he said, after the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink of it, remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now notice the we. He's talking to the Christians. And by the way, why would the Lord say that we need to judge ourselves at this time? Because he's letting us know, even though we're saved, we need our feet cleaned once in a while. That's what Jesus talked about in Matthew, daily cleansing. We need a daily cleansing. And he's showing how that can be done. Now, if we need a daily cleansing, there must be a few things that rub off on this world that is not very likable for God in our lives. And so he said, I give this to you as a child of God so you can have this daily cleansing. And he said, at this time, you need to take a specific inventory of your heart and know that if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, judging ourselves is to come before God and try to be as clean as possible, what we know of, to confess to him any sin that's in our life. And yet, at the same time, remember that when we do that, we're just as clean if we're honest before God. Now, to confess is not just to confess and do next week. Confess means that you turn from one thing and go in a different direction. And so a person who says, well, I confess the sin today, and then 2 weeks from now I'll just do it again, that's not really true confession. He said, but there's a time you have to judge yourself. And he said, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, verse 32 is a very important verse. He said, but when we are judged, God says, when the time comes for history, he's talking about the arena of God, not talking about the world now. The world has their own place before God Almighty, and it's worse than ours. Believe me. Every sin will be dealt with there because the blood of Jesus Christ has not cleansed their sin. There have books laid up for them at the great white throne judgment where nothing has ever cleaned those books, and they'll be rewarded in the lake of fire according to their works in that books. Why? That's what God says in Revelation as you look in chapter 21. And so now he says, but when we judge, notice, when we are judged, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. That is, God said, if you come to this time and you judge yourself before God, he said, then when you do that, you'll not be judged by me because you've judged yourself and the blood of Christ, everything's been put under that so that you're clean as of the day when you got saved. But he said in verse 32, but when we are judged, watch this, and I love this because this shows us our relationship to God. I'm glad that God, that we serve, we can have a relationship with him. It's just not just some mythical thing. It is a relationship. Our God is real, and he not only wants to be our God, but he wants to be our Father. I don't know another religion in the world that wants that. Most religions look at, they believe that they're God. They have to do certain things to appease their God. You know what appeases our God? Trust him. Just believe what he says. Act upon what he says in his word. That's what brings God's love and appeasement to us. But a lot of folks in this world think they've got to do something. You see people beating themselves on the back, trying to beat themselves in submission. Isn't it an amazing thing? You can beat yourself on the back till you die and never be in submission to God Almighty. But isn't it amazing? You can surrender to him and the blood of Christ can cleanse you and not leave a mark on you. Lord of God, folks, it's a wonderful thing. Why is it our message is so clear and so loving that the world would take a root away from God and believe in false gods that they do things trying to appease their God and get their God's attention. In fact, we're as bad today as those prophets were in Elijah's day. It's just as bad today, people trying to get their God's attention through things they do rather than with Elijah. As a matter of fact, in that day, Elijah, those false prophets, 500 of them, did everything they could do, and their God didn't even respond. And Elijah got up and said a few words of prayer, and God consumed the offering. Isn't that amazing? By the way, same as the day. So I know, and I want to look in verse 32, and we go to communion. But when we are judged, God has to judge us rather than we judge in ourselves. And the we sets forth the child of God. It's a pronoun. Paul included himself here. And if anybody was saved, Paul certainly was saved. He got saved on the road to Damascus. He was saved when he wrote this. And he included himself. And when you look at pronouns, and God includes himself, Paul himself was saying, if we are judged, if we don't judge ourselves when God said to at the proper time, and then there's a judgment comes to us. He's not judging us about whether we're going to heaven or hell. He's judging us in our life of service to him, and things don't get in the way to clog the channel where he can't come to us. He said, but when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord. My, why? That we should not be condemned with the world. Isn't that, folks, that to me is a powerful verse of Scripture. God is so merciful and loving. He says, if you don't judge yourself when you know you should in light of the Scriptures, and I have to do it. I do it with a chastened hand. A chastened hand is a loving hand that brings correction to one's life and yet does not doom them. A chastened hand is a parent who whips their children out of love because something has been done worthy of that, and yet it is not wrath in the sense like the world would do in abusing a child. And that's what God is talking about here. He said, if you judge yourself, and you won't have to worry about it. But if we are judged because we don't judge ourselves, he says, we're chastened of the Lord, that we, who the child of God, should not be condemned with the world. God says, I do it, showing you the loving hand of God, even in an era of correction. You don't have to be condemned like the world is. So this is what he gave us communion for. We can do that without communion, but isn't it amazing? God knew us, folks. God knew us better than we knew ourselves. He said, for the child of God, I give you this wonderful ordinance of the church, so that you have periodically, as often as you do it, you'll look at what I said do, you'll look at how I did it with the apostles, you'll look as I gave Paul the instructions what the church should do, and that isn't it amazing? He gave it to the church of Corinth, which is the most cardinal church there was. And if Corinth needed it, here in this case, it certainly was good for everybody else. And it's good for Fellowship Baptist Church in the Age of Grace, 2014. Because it helps us get what we should do in obedience to God Almighty. And therefore, God will do for us tonight what he said he'd do, because he never changes. He's always the same. So tonight, thank you for being here as a family. We do this together. Now I'll think about this. Now I can't convince you. But one of these days, before long, we're going to be in the portals of glory. The bride of Christ is going to be presented to his Father. And we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, according to the book of Revelation 19. And Jesus Christ himself, with God the Father, no doubt the Holy Spirit, will be at the head of the table. It'll be the table of communion like we had here. It don't have to be done there as it is here with a glorified body, but it's done in remembrance of. And that's the reason I say to you and I, that place is so glorious on the other side, and you see me try to explain that, and words fail me to do so in the last 4 or 5 weeks in the messages. But it's so glorious on the other side. No way in the world you and I can explain it. But when we get there and we walk through that one place that man has never seen, and even though he dreams about it, his ear has not heard, eyes not seen, not enter into the heart of man what God has prepared to them that love him. So when you and I get there and we begin to walk through that place and come to that marriage supper of the Lamb, it's going to be so great. If we only glorify, you heard me say, if we only glorify a body, we'd be overwhelmed. You've never seen the magnitude of what this is. And what we're going to do when we see that, be in amazement, Lord God, that I could even be here. That I can even be in this place. And God's going to say, pass the cup, pass the bread. And as we partake of the cup or partake of the bread, of the broken body of Christ and we partake of the cup for the blood of Christ, we're going to offer saints with no reservation at all. I'm here because of Him. Because of Him. Let's pray. He teaches that we'll confess our sin. I'm glad for John 1:9's there, that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight we take of the blood, of the cup which represents His blood. We take of the bread which represents His body. And we're mindful that His body was broken for us. And we're mindful that the cup was His blood, represents His blood that was shed for us. We should start with our individual. I need to do it as an individual, as a husband, as a dad, and even more so as a pastor. You need to do it as an individual, as a husband or wife or a parent. And then even to the place of a Sunday school class or whatever it is God's got you doing, to realize that without His help, we really are not able to do anything for Him. Everything we do in our own energy is just worth nothing. It amounts to nothing. Everything we do in obedience to Him and His energy, God says He's going to reward for that. Because only can we do it right when we do it in His energy. And we get that from His precious word. So we start with ourselves tonight and then move from there in this wonderful service.